Praise the Lord. No, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. God is good, isn't he? You know, so often we make all of this about us. You know, I need to be healed. I need my finances straightened out. I need to be more anointed. I, and me. But you know the truth of the matter is, it's all about him. Because he is our reward. Amen. He is our anointing. He is our prosperity. It's in him that we live and breathe, that we have our very life in him. And when we worship to him, with him. It's not only about him for us, it is him. When he's the center of it all, it's amazing how everything works just right. Amen. When we take ourselves out of the way and we let him be God in our lives, it's amazing. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for us to come together today. I love every opportunity that we have as a congregation and as your body to come together, come into unity, to look over your word and let it be resident in our hearts, to be transformed from the inside out. Father, I just love it when each and every one of us, Lord, open up our hearts a little bit more to realize who we are in you. That we would allow you to minister to us by your glory in our inner person, Lord. That you speak to us, that you lead us, that you have a very real presence within us, Lord. That you don't leave us orphans or on our own. And Father, I just pray that the cares of this world, the responsibilities of life, and that the desires, Father, would just be put to side right now, and that we can come in here released of everything that was going on before we walked into this room, and just make you the center of it all, Lord Jesus. You're our life. You fill us. You set us free. You magnify yourself in us, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. It is all you, Lord, that transforms our lives. We may do our part to be obedient and to follow your leading, but it's you that brings it all to pass. And we just acknowledge you as being God, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good all the time. You know, I want to talk to you today about something that is wonderful, something that is really valuable, something that you know is going to be the same every single day of your life. And I'll tell you what, we need things that are the same every day of our life, because in this world nowadays, everything is so temporary, everything is so rush, 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 get something else, get something else, get something else, and we try to get so much that we forget what we actually have. I can't tell you how many things I've bought and used once, set it aside so I'll never forget about it, and then very thing I don't want to do, I do. I forget all about it. Because I got so many other things, it gets lost. So I want to give you something that you can trust and rely on, that it's always going to be true and always going to be real. Amen?
Amen.
And I know it's the Bible, and we all know that. But something in the Bible that is just really foundational that I want to talk about. How many of y'all have faith?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. How about do at some times we have a little more faith than other times? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say we have faith, but we're just kind of hoping and wishing that God kind of makes it happen while we're believing. Well, I want to set an anchor in your hearts, if that's at all possible today, about faith. And I want to talk about faith. If you want to go ahead and turn in your books to Romans for me, chapter 3, and I want to look at verse 27. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. I want to talk about faith today, but I want to talk about faith as a law. All right, someone took Romans out of my Bible. There it is. Romans chapter 3. Did I say 7? No, Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Romans 3, verse 27. It's up there on the screen, okay? So I'm going to read out of my Bible. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." You know, we've been redeemed from the law, which is ordinances and codes and statutes. We've been redeemed from the law of Israel's time. But we do operate by a law. There is a law that absolutely is in the law that we have to obey now, and that's the law of faith. Do you know that it's not a law that we have to obey because we decide to obey it? It's true all the time, whether you believe it or not. It's like gravity. Does gravity care if you have a good day or a bad day? Gravity doesn't care. Gravity is going to be gravity, whether you're believe it or not, it's still going to be gravity, isn't it? And I got to tell you, we can trust in that. And faith is just like that. Faith has a law, and it's called the law of faith. And that thing operates all the time, whether you believe it or not. And there are conditions that we can set up in our lives so that faith works all by itself. We don't have to be hemming and hawing and trying to get God to do something and getting all lathered up trying to make something happen. We can absolutely have what the Bible says that we can have. But there's a condition for it. We have to follow the rules of that law. Like gravity. Gravity works all the time, doesn't it? If I step off of this here, gravity will bring me down to the next step, won't it? But if I think that, I can be above that law. If I walked off the edge of a building, gravity would still be working and would bring me right to that ground, wouldn't it? But see, faith is a law that supersedes natural laws. Like this, when Jesus died on the cross, he removed the curse that's against you and me, didn't he? Amen. He totally nailed it to the cross. But he didn't remove the curse that's in this world. This world is still under a curse. It is broken, and it is temporary, and it will end one day. And the Lord's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Is that true? Amen. It really is. So then what happens? In this world, there is sickness. In this world, there are diseases. In this world, there is poverty. In this world, there is troubles. They really are. They're in this world. And if we don't know how to overrule the law of this world, it'll take us down. It will. It's taken me down. I used to be a weightlifter, and all that muscle that I had up in my chest is down here now. You know, it's like gravity just kind of took it over the years, you know, and it just happened. I was really strong. I was. And you know what? It just transformed my life by being in this environment. Amen. But now I want you to know that this, the law of faith is like the law of aerodynamics. Are you familiar with that law? It's the law that an airplane uses to fly. You know, and that law is always true. And it's this, if lift plus thrust is greater than load plus drag, it'll fly. That's a law. If the power to lift and the thrust to make it go forward is greater than the weight and the resistance that's holding it back, it'll fly, right? It will. I mean, if you threw a rock would fling. But if you try to throw it underwater where there's much more resistance, if you threw it in the water, if you were in the swimming pool and you threw a rock, it wouldn't go very far, would it? Now, as hard as you threw it, it still would not go over because there's so much resistance against it. But this law, like an airplane uses, that if you know how much lift and thrust you need, you can fly. It doesn't void the law of this world. It supersedes it. It's a higher truth. Does that make sense to y'all? Are you with me on this? So when we learn how to operate in the truth that is above this natural truth that we're in. Because if somebody's sick in their body, it's the truth. They are sick in their body, aren't they? That's the truth. And for me to walk around and say, I'm going to use my faith. I'm not sick. 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 I'm not. That's a lie. Because their body is sick. But there's another truth above that truth, which is, I'm healed. Regardless of whether I'm seeing it through my eyes or not. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 real quick. Excuse me, 5:7. I go to 17 so much. It's just my go-to scripture. I love it so much that it just, I did one of those faux pas. Just subconsciously came busting out. 7:5-7. Are you with me? You guys probably have this one memorized. It's a very popular verse. For we walk by faith, not by... Do you know that's been in there my whole life? That has been in there my whole life. You know how much of my life I've believed it? Still working on it. Still working on it. Because it is so easy to believe by sight. It's so easy to walk according to how I feel and how things look to me. And I actually, according to God, am not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to walk according to what I see, taste, touch, or feel, what my perceptions in this natural world are. I'm supposed to walk by what? Faith. Let's go to another very popular verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 11. It's another one of those. Yeah. I like 6 a lot too, though. But Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at 1. This is all probably foundational for y'all, but I want to hit this foundation before we move any further. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then we're going to do verse 6 also. How many have heard verse 1 before? Raise your hands. Okay, so nobody's a beginner in this one. So we've all heard it, and there was a few 10 or 12 years there where it was just beat over our head all the time, and it's this, that faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that true? In the New King James, that's how it says it. The Amplified says the title deed. Faith is a title deed. But you know what? Faith is the substance. In other words, the realization. Let's see that word, the realization. Faith is what makes us be able to realize it. What does it mean to realize it? That in your eyes, it's real. Got it? To realize this, it's real to you. Okay? When you realize something, it becomes real to you. Are you with me? So, faith is what, when you realize it, so that, what does it say? Faith is the realization of things hoped for, which means you have a joyful expectation, you're looking forward to this thing, the evidence of things not seen, or the confidence of the things you haven't seen yet. So in other words, faith is you realizing that you actually have the thing that you want to have, and you have confidence that it's yours. Okay? Did you follow that terminology? Faith is you and I realizing that what we are believing for or hoping for is actually ours, and we have the confidence in that, right? Now, I'm saying it like this because it's very important in verse 6 that we all have heard a million times also. But I want to bring this home to set this foundation. Look in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? Okay, so without... this, without you being able to realize that the thing that you want is yours already and you have the confidence, without that, it is impossible to please God. Are you with me? This is a big deal. We're going to talk about a law of faith, a faith that works all the time. And so this thing says that if you don't get that, when you realize it's true, it's actually true.
Amen.
When you realize it's true, it's actually true. Whether you see it or not, but you have to realize it's true. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let's go on. So when you realize that it's true, you please God. So it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? Of those who diligently seek him. What does it mean that God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him?
That's what I'm saying.
What does it mean?
He gives us what we want, what we need. He rewards us for our faith, for being obedient.
So are you saying that faith is something that God initiates? In other words, say I'm having faith for my healing. Okay? My body still has a sickness on it or in it, but I realize that by his stripes I'm healed. I realize that Jesus bore it on the cross. And all of a sudden I just woke up in my spirit that it's true. Okay? Does God make it true? Is that the reward? But it's not. That is not the reward. Your healing is not your reward of having faith. Ding, ding, tilt, tilt. What? It's not. When you know it's real, it's actually real because God told you it's real. And that's real. And when you get it, you own it because it's yours. What God rewards you with is himself. God rewards you with more of him in you, more of you being like him. The more you diligently seek God, the more of him that rubs off on you. The more of him you're transformed into. The more of him that is resident and alive inside of you. Because you know what grace is? Grace, we say, is the favor of God, isn't it? Don't we say that it's the unmerited favor of God? It's God's goodness, right? Grace is God's goodness. According to Moses, when Moses wanted to see God, he said, let me see your glory. You know, didn't he say that? And he says, here, I'm going to put my hand in front of you and I'll let you see my goodness as I pass by. Right? God is good. Didn't Jesus say that God is good?
Amen.
He said, only God is good. And remember the parable about the guys that went out to work? And he said to the first group, hey, come out and work and I'll pay you this much money. And then he got another group a little bit later and another group after lunch. And then the last group right at 4 o'clock. And they're done working at 5. And they only work for 1 hour. And then Jesus paid them, starting with the guy that got there at 4 o'clock, paid him the same amount that he told everybody else. And the guys in the beginning go, well, I've been here the whole day. I should get way more now. And he paid him exactly what he said he was going to give him. And he says, why are you evil? Because I'm good. Is your heart evil because I'm good? See, the thing is, God is so good. He is going to give you unconditionally. Look at James real quick. James, that's towards the back. Goes Hebrews and then James. So God rewards us that diligently seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? It just is. I want to show you something coming up here in a minute that just is wonderful. Pastor Trace talked about it, and I'm just going to reiterate it in a little bit different light. But if you look at me, at James with me, here's the thing. It says in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, again, I'm using very traditional scriptures that you all know very well. What I want to do is, my goal here is to remove the randomness of us seeing what we've been promised is ours in the Bible. Are you with me? What I want to do is remove the fact that you qualify to make it happen. I want to remove that you are able to make it not happen. I want to remove that. I want to take the pressure off of us to be the ones that cause our healing to manifest. It's not you that heals you. It's not me that heals you. It's not you that heals me or somebody else. Take the pressure off of yourself. You're not the healer. I want to show you that it is a law, that it operates all the time if we just come into agreement with the law. Are you with me? To take the pressure off of us. It's not us. It's a law. Does that make sense? Gravity doesn't care about me. It will do the same thing to me that it does to you. It doesn't distinguish a difference between me and you. It works, right? I have to learn how to live in harmony with gravity. Because if I don't live in harmony with gravity, I will have problems. It will not go well with me. Amen? If we didn't have gravity, we would fly off this planet. It would be a mess. It wouldn't work. We have to have that law for this to work. The law of faith always works. Amen? Now, looking in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah, right. Right. How many of you do that? Okay, I'm not raising my hand really either. But truthfully, I am now. In reality, I am. Because I understand why we have to have troubles. I didn't understand before. I thought I was in trouble with God if I had troubles, or I was doing something wrong and I had troubles, or if sickness got onto me, it's because I sinned. The Bible does say that. Jesus healed the guy, remember, at the well? And he says, sin no more or something worse will come on you. Didn't he say that? That's really true. We can open the door to the devil and he can beat the snot out of us. He can. And so I always thought, oh no, I got an open door. Do you know that troubles come whether you have an open door or not? It's just a fact. It just is. We all are going to have troubles in the world. The curse of this earth is continuing in motion. That's why the Lord's going to remove it and make a new one. But you and I have to learn how to work with this thing and not have it working against us. Amen? You know what a tandem bicycle is? It's a bicycle where two people can ride the same bicycle at the same time. Two chains, two pedals, two sets of pedals, one rear wheel that it drives. Do you know both people have to pedal the same? If you don't, it won't work. You guys have to get in synchronized order, and then as you're both pedaling together, the bike will go and it takes the pressure off because the two are working together, right? But if I'm pushing down while you're pulling up, we got problems. It is not going to work. So we have to learn how to come in harmony and in balance with the system that's in place. So if we are going to have various trials, we need to know why we have them, right? Why do we have difficulties? Is it because I'm a bad person? No, maybe some of them is because I'm stupid. Some of my problems I caused, okay? Some of my problems, I didn't turn the light on and the furniture did not move at night. But somehow I got my bearings off, and when I stubbed my toe, I did it to myself, amen? A demon didn't push the couch out in front of me, okay? I stubbed my toe. It's a natural thing took place. But some things are troubles that are just going to come, like this storm that we just are encountering. It's not because people sinned. The world is broken, and these things happen. And they happen to all of us. They're no respecter of persons. But we have to know that when the troubles come, God's not doing it to us. Are you with me? It's just happening. So when we fall into various trials, we have to look at why. We know what? That it is testing our faith that produces patience. It's testing my faith. Troubles test what I really believe in my heart. They pull out the real me. Sometimes I'm not perfect, just forgiven. So I still mess up a little bit here and there. Ask my wife, she has a list. I'm kidding. Sweetheart, I know you don't have a list, okay? My wife listens to these things. So just playing with you. But I still, pardon me? She doesn't need to. I do enough on my own. It's perfectly evident. Now you made me forget where I was going. Oh, well, it's for the producing of my faith that produces patience. So when I have a trouble, when I have a problem, okay, it's not because I'm so evil or I'm a total mess up. It's because I get to see where I'm really at in my walk with the Lord. Are you with me? So how many of you have had troubles in your life? About half. The others have a charmed life, or else you're not listening to me. I don't know. Or you just don't raise your hand when people ask, one or the other. I don't know. But anyway, I have troubles in my life. And here's how I started out. Lord, I don't know why this is happening to me. I haven't sinned. I don't think I've gotten any art in my heart towards anyone. I know I've forgiven everybody. Why is this happening to me? Anybody else done that? I've done that. I thought that my behavior had something to do with the troubles that I had in my life. But this is saying that the troubles come to everybody. Remember the parable in Matthew chapter 7 about the wind and the storms coming? Remember that? And the house that was built on the sand fell, but the house that they dug deep in the foundation said it remained because the wind and the waves and the storms beat against that house. It beat against both houses. Everybody hits storms in their life, and storms are different. Sometimes it's a sickness. Sometimes it's financial pressure. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a job and the people in that job. I mean, it can just go on and on and on. But if we will operate by the law of faith, instead of calling what we're walking through as real. Now, that storm we had in Texas, I don't know what direction Texas is from inside of here. I'm just going to point that way, okay? You don't need to correct me if I'm wrong. But on the people that are listening, they don't even know what direction I'm pointing anyway. So I'm pointing that way. In Texas, Fred's correcting me. Thank you. I said not to do that. So they, when they're in the middle of the storm, it's very real to them, isn't it? And the water's rising, that's very, very real. But do you know that problem is temporary? It's a temporary problem. Could it have devastated many, many people's lives? Could some people have lost their lives in it? Oh, yes. Yeah. So it's a tragedy on the planet. But it's only a temporary situation. Faith is eternal. Faith is forever. And as we get our thinking up to the laws of faith, we will start seeing the results of that in our lives. The problem is that we don't look at the problems as something we have to overcome. Write that down. We don't look at the problems as something we have to overcome. We are over them already. Amen. Let this sink in. This is pretty profound. I know it's hard because they seem so real. But we walk by what? And not by? Which includes feelings and our five senses, our past experiences. Right? Because we have sight beyond sight. What's sight beyond sight, Robert? Ooh. Sight beyond sight is you remembering and seeing things again. That's sight beyond sight. Or looking in the spiritual realm, that's sight beyond sight. That's looking in your heart and seeing things. We do not recall bad things to determine how our future is going to go. Because it's happened that way in the past, we are not that. We are over all of that, but most of us don't realize it. In other words, before they invented airplanes, only birds flew. We never considered we could do that. It wasn't in our scope of things. We needed the revelation that men can operate on a higher plane than we're operating on. And once we got that higher revelation, then we can operate in that realm. The same with the law of faith. When we realize This is ours, and it works regardless of my conduct or my past. It's a fact, Jack. Then I can use it to my advantage. Amen?
Amen.
So I was going to go on to a double-minded person, which is in verse 8, is unstable in all of their ways. But I want to look at this instead, verse 5. Are you with me? If any of you lacks wisdom, because we're asking for wisdom in this example here, but what I want to show you is the character of God here. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who does what? Gives to all liberally and what? Without reproach. This is the character of God now we're talking about. He gives to everyone who asks liberally and without reproach, right? Does your conduct have anything to do with his giving? No, it does not. His character is that he gives to everyone who asks liberally and without reproach. You are never a reproach to God. Just read Ephesians and Colossians and you will see that is true. If you will believe it, if you will realize this is true for you. Amen? So now let's go to where I really wanted to go in the first place. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. I want you to see something. And I'm going to focus on something that's a little different than we've looked at the past. Okay? I want to look at something a little bit different. So if you go to Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at the parable that Pastor Trey has done a wonderful job teaching us about, which is the woman with the issue of blood. Are you with me? Let's go ahead and read it, and we're going to start at verse 24. Ready? We're going to read 24 down through. Go to the end of the chapter, Bruce, because I don't know where I'm going to stop. Starting in verse 24. So then Jesus went with him. This is Jairus. And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a thronging in the Old Testament, what it just means is everybody is so crowded together, we're bumping into each other, we're walking in a real thick crowd, okay? That's thronging together. That's when you hold onto your purse or your wallet and you just kind of hold it close to you and walk through the crowd because everybody's bumping into everybody, okay? So that's the kind of environment that they're in right now. And it says, so Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had sufferings, many things from many and has suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She was in a bad spot. When she heard about Jesus, she heard about him. And when she heard about him, it wasn't that there's just a man, Jesus. She heard about him and what he was doing and how he was healing people. She heard about that. And that sparked faith in her heart to go put action to what she heard. And something rose up inside of her and she believed that she could get the same results as those other people were going and getting. She heard. And so that woman, she heard about Jesus, verse 27, she came behind him in the crowd. She snuck up on the guy, okay, and touched his garment. She did this. She walked up on the crowd, sneaking up there, and went and touched him. Didn't want to get busted. Didn't want anybody to know it. She was in a situation that she actually was not allowed to be in public. It was a crime for her to be in public. So she had to sneak. She snuck out there, covered up good, and just went for it because she had hope that this could be true. And she did. So let's read on. Verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I'll be healed. I'll be saved. If only I could just touch his clothes. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Praise God, she felt it. She felt the power of God. She felt this healing taking place. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I'm going to focus on something you probably have never focused on before. The power had nothing to do with Jesus going out of him. Uh-oh, wait a minute. It had nothing to do. He didn't even know it was going to happen. It took him by surprise. You know how he knew it? He felt the power leave him. He felt the anointing operating. The anointing operated because it's a law. Because Jesus is in alignment with the law of faith. And because he is operating in the law of faith, he literally is the vessel of God. Literally. And that anybody that had a need that got close to him got healed. Well, no, Robert, it was this one lady. She touched him and she got healed. Not everybody. That's true. A lot of people bumped into him that day. That's true. But look at this one. Just for fun, let's go to Luke chapter 6. Are you with me? Let's do Luke chapter 6, and we're going to do verse 17 through 19. And it says this, "And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd with a crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases." Period. They came to him to hear him and to be healed of his diseases, right? Look at this next verse. I think it's interesting. "As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed." Verse 19. "And the whole multitude sought to" what? "To touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all." All they needed to do is touch him. Got it? Listen, I'm trying to wake something up inside of you to think a little bit differently about your life and about who you are. That this law operates regardless of your conduct. Sure, don't sin, don't do dumb things, don't deliberately defy God. But most of you are not in that boat that you're doing those things. Listen, faith works. Don't be led by anything else. Believing God works. And when you do, and you seek him, he rewards you. How? By filling you with his Spirit. Have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Yes, we have. Have we been given authority in the name of Jesus? Amen. Yes, we have. Why then do we go to somebody else to pray for us? No condemnation here. I'm asking a question to make us think. Because I'm Robert meets the rubber on the road. Okay? My last name is Stump. That means a tree that's been chopped down. I put an axe to the root. There is no knowledge of good and evil here. We are only talking about the tree of life. The tree of life is not the tree of good and evil. We are talking about being able to participate in spiritual things, that we are spiritual creatures, and the old identity of just a man or woman on the earth must be removed completely. That is not the truth about us anymore. And when troubles come, and sicknesses come, and situations come, they try their best to make you identify with that old creation. The old man. And they try to make you deal with it according to the old man. And the Lord is showing us in his word that we are a new creation, that we operate according to the Spirit, and that we are over the circumstances. And that faith works regardless. If we will diligently seek the Lord, he absolutely rewards us with himself. And if you'll look, he's full of power. Just like a battery that's just busting out. He's full of power. And you and I are the recipients of that. We are also transformed, right? Or we are transformers. We have the same power working in us that worked in Christ Jesus. Absolutely the same. This says that Jesus wasn't even deliberately trying to heal people. They just touched him and got healed. Is he special than you? Is he like equipped with something that you and I don't have? No. He had to come as a man. It says that he had to suffer all things. He had to come as a man who had the same ability as we have in the fact that it's by the Spirit of God that he did miracles. It wasn't until he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit before one miracle was recorded that he did. Not one. But he was born a virgin, that the seed of God himself empowered that egg, gave him the blood of God, that his blood can be holy blood that paid the price for all sin as a sacrifice. That's true. That's definitely true. In his blood there was no sin, but it wasn't that sinless life that gave him power. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him power. It was a sinless life that gave him the ability to pay for our sins. But that's a separate thing than having the power of God working in us for healing. Are you with me? I want you to think here. I want us to raise it up a little bit. Do you know that the Bible says in Colossians that we are already complete in him? We're already complete in him. But if we don't realize what I'm telling you right now is true, if we are not walking in that as who we really, really are, then what we need to do is what? Who's the rewarder? God is the rewarder. So what do we need to do? Diligently seek him. Got it. Bingo, baby. That's the answer.
Amen.
Just like when I started today, so many of us make it about ourselves. Well, I'm not anointed like you are. Well, I don't know the Bible the way you know the Bible. Well, I haven't been given the same things that you've been given in life. I started out behind the eight ball. I was born sick. I don't even know what it's like to not be sick. Gravity doesn't give a flip about any of that stuff.
Amen.
Gravity doesn't care about any of your problems. Guess what? Faith doesn't either. What the troubles do is they let you know where you really are in your heart. And our goal is to get up above our situations. We are over the problems. Robert, do you have any scriptures that say that? We are more than what? In who? Is that true?
Amen.
We are more than conquerors. We are over the situations. We are coming from a place of victory. The devil has already been defeated. It is a done deal. It is a fact. Jesus saw him fall like lightning from heaven, as Pastor said today. It is true. But if we are glommed down by the things in this world, we won't walk in that truth. We have to build ourselves up. We have to stir ourselves up. As Timothy was informed by Paul, stir yourself up. As the only verse in, what's that word? Philemon says that, huh?
Philemon.
I say Philemon. Where it says that we have to acknowledge every good thing that is in us. We have to acknowledge every good thing that it is. Whether we see it or not, it's still the truth about you and about I. Amen?
Amen.
Is this good news?
Yes.
This is great news. Are troubles good news?
All right.
You're still not there yet because we don't count it as joy yet, you guys. We do not count it as joy yet. I'll tell you. Here's my other favorite scripture. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Pastor Trey knows exactly where I'm going. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. In other words, get happy that you have problems. Get happy that you have problems. I'll give you an example. I remember when I had a $13 power bill. Oh, it was overloading me. It was terrible. I didn't have the money. They were going to shut off the lights. They were going to add fees to it if I didn't pay. $13 was $1 billion that day. It wasn't actually 13. I think it was like 117 or something. But it was over my head. It was so far out of my scope of being able to pay it, knowing they were going to turn off the power. It was crushing me under the weight of that fear. Do you know, today I have no problem paying that power bill. Yes, sweetheart, I know that you pay the electricity. My wife listens to these. It's the only reason I say that. So she actually is the one that pays the power bill. That's why I have no more problems paying it. No, that's not. That's not the truth. There's probably some revelation in there somewhere. I just don't know where it's at the moment. But the truth is, what I'm trying to say is the things that used to defeat me when I was younger, I'm past that now. They aren't big problems. They don't even bother me anymore because I'm past that. In other words, when these troubles come, when these trials come, when the fear and the doubt and unbelief that it tries to stimulate in my heart is gone, it can't hurt me anymore. It can't do anything to me. So these troubles come in our lives, sicknesses and poverties and different things and areas of troubles, so that we can see where we're really at. Does God cause these things to happen? Absolutely not. You know who causes them to happen. It's three things that are always going to come and try to take you out. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it till the end of my days. You have three enemies, and they'll never leave you. Never. And that is the curse of this world. We all have to deal with the curse of this world. We will all have to deal with the devil. He's a very real entity, and his minions, and they are seeking whom they can devour. They are looking to ruin our lives and, if possible, take us out. And then we have our own flesh. Our own flesh does not know the things of God, nor can it know them. That's foolishness to a flesh carnal mind, because all they know is this world. They only know what medical doctors say. The flesh only knows what past experiences are. The flesh only knows natural things. It can't comprehend spiritual. So those three enemies we're always going to have. Always. So get used to it. I remember, did you guys see the movie The Shack? I saw it. It was a pretty good movie. I wouldn't put my doctrinal hat right on it, but I sure enjoyed it as a movie. And one thing that the woman that played God said, or no, Wisdom said to the guy in the main character, he says, "You want a promise of a pain-free life." And she turned and looked at him and says, "There isn't one. There isn't one. You will never get away from the problems and the troubles of this world. So what we need to learn how to do is rise above them." Right? When there's a storm and the rains and the thunderings and the wind is howling, get in your 747 and bust through the crowds and get up on top where the sun shines always and never fails. Get above the storms, and then the sun shines always and it never fails. Amen? Above the clouds, you can see the sun all the time, as long as it's not on the other side of the earth, you know, but there's always someone in the room. Always. So, well, you can't see through the earth and see the sun. No, I can't. You know what I'm saying, though. The sun always shines above the storms. When we stand in a position that we are above the storms, we can walk easier when troubles come. Out there at Lake Tobosoffke, if you stood in the middle of that lake, bar a revelation that you can walk on water or divine influence of God, if you stood on that lake, you would drown. You'd fall in the water. But if you're water skiing, you're enjoying on top of that water all the time because you're operating with a principle that's above the natural laws of the lake, right? And you can make it recreation. The very thing that could drown you ends up becoming your recreation. Amen? Amen. So, troubles, what's our posture for troubles? Rejoice. When they come, because of why? They're testing our faith. They're finding out what I actually believe, right? They're locating me. Troubles locate me. And if I am under my problems and they're crushing me and I'm going, God, deliver me, help. I have forgotten. And I'm now walking by sight and not by faith. So, what do we need to do, Robert? Great word. What do we do? How do we get from where we're at to where you're talking about? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking that question. Day by day. When I was in debt, I wasn't delivered from the debt instantly. Or how? I don't know how they do that. It's not as funny when I do it. All right? I had to pay the bills, work and pay the bills, work and pay the bills, work and pay the bills. Sometimes I got a supernatural gift that paid some of it, an intervention by somebody else, but it all had to come by somebody's hard work to pay it off. Amen? The same way with renewing our minds. We have to press in. We have to find out what the Word says. We got to get before God. We need to find out what we believe in our hearts because these things are coming to us. What am I saying in my heart when these troubles come? What am I actually saying to myself? Do y'all know you got dialogue going all the time inside of you? That Chatty Cathy's going on all the time in here. And what's Chatty Cathy saying? Is Chatty Cathy saying what Jesus said to Jairus? You know, Jairus, after the woman was healed with the issue of blood, you know what happened? Right then, somebody came to tell the news to Jairus, who was patiently waiting while Jesus was going to help him to heal his little one. Then this woman steps in and ruins his whole thing and touches him and gets healed in the process and steals all of Jesus' attention. At that moment, a servant found him in the crowd and said, "She's dead." Jesus didn't drop a beat, didn't take a breath. He spun right around on his heels and said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Didn't he say that? He says, "If you believe, she will wake up." Robert paraphrased. Really? Without a beat, bang, instantly hit that right away so that fear couldn't get in his heart. That's where we need to get to. We need to get to the place that we've been listening to the Word, where we've been reading the Word, where we've been getting with the Holy Spirit and praying over our life and what's going on in our lives. And listen, how much of you do I really believe is true, Lord? How much of this do I actually believe is true? Because I'm having problems and I'm not seeing the results that I want. I would pray for one lady of this church who is suffering from some illnesses. And you know what? You know what her greatest problem is? It isn't the illness that she's facing. You know what her greatest hurt is? Her greatest hurt is the shame and the guilt that she feels because she feels like she should be past this by now. She feels like she should be able to speak to it and make it go, and it's not going when she speaks to it. And that she was crying as I was ministering to her. Because so many of us, we hear this stuff day after day, week after week, year after year, and we listen, but how much of it am I personally really making mine, digging in and getting it for my own self? The ones that diligently seek God, He rewards us. Any one of us that really pursue Him, we will absolutely see these results in our life. Really. But we have to take the time to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So how many of you count it all joy when you fall in the various trials? Okay. Two or three hesitantly raising their hands. Right. So, you know, listen, this is just, if it is difficult for us to face these things and to look at them, we should take some time to really find out where the joy is at in our heart. Really, where do we know that God will meet us? Where do we know that He does always intervene? He always shows Himself faithful. Where? I promise, if you look somewhere in your life, He's always been faithful to you. And you can probably recant it. You can probably think about it and go, okay, write that down. He's always faithful in this area. Okay? And get that as a stepping stone for you, a platform. And then think, where else has he been faithful? Write that down. And start building this thing that he's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to you. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Okay, he's with me. He's with me. He's with me. Get that settled. Then look around in your life and pick something else to tackle. And find out what the word says. Get it as truth. His word is forever settled where? In heaven. That's in your spirit. Okay? We need to get that in our hearts, that it's the truth. And as we do that, we'll start seeing the results. Amen? I'm talking to adults in the spirit. I am not talking to brand new creations. When you're brand new, you do need somebody else to pray for you. You do need someone else to show you the ropes. You do need someone to do it. Otherwise, we would not have the saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't. We wouldn't have that saying. We need to have the older women teach the younger women, right? We need to have the older men teach the younger men, right? We need to have the apostles and their disciples, don't we? We need to have a Paul when we're young, and when we're old, we need a Timothy. All of us need to impart and be imparted into, to show us the ropes. That's another encouragement. If you're not getting the results that you believe you're absolutely entitled to by the Word of God, hook up with someone that is getting the results. Now we've got YouTube, we've got all these different venues, we've got worldwide preachers, we have television all over the place. Find somebody that is walking in what you want to walk in and ask them, how are you doing this? Get the real stuff. I'm talking to people who actually want results in their life.
You better believe it.
And not just waiting passively for God to do it to them.
Amen.
If you're waiting passively for God to do it to you, he'll let you wait.
That's right.
He will, because that's your desire, to wait till God does it. You know that? Since there was a flood, I'll finish with this. One of the guys there, the house was flooded. He was up on the front porch, and the water just kept rising. And so then he got up on the shed dormer there. Got it? You guys know where I'm going with this, right? God, you rescue me. God, rescue me. Drift boat comes along. Hey, jump in, jump in. No, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. Drift boat goes on by, goes up a little higher. He's up on the roof by the gutter. Water's still rising. Sheriff comes by. Sheriff says, come on, get in the boat, get in the boat. He goes, no, God's going to rescue me. God's going to rescue me. Okay, he leaves. Climbs up on the chimney, got up on top of the chimney stack. The water's up, coming right up to the top of the stack. This guy comes by in a jet ski. Jump on, jump on. No, God's going to rescue me. Boom, the guy falls off of the chimney. Drowns. Goes to heaven. Says, Lord, I thought you were going to rescue me. I believed you were going to rescue me. And he said, I sent the boat, the sheriff, and the jet ski. How much more did you want? See, the thing is, the natural things. God provides for the supernatural things so naturally. All she did was touch him. That's it. As you and I believe God and walk in that anointing, that identity of who we are and the fellowship with the Lord, getting the word as our anchor, and we start actually believing who we really are. Believing who we really are. And don't let the lies of this world hypnotize us. And we get our eyes wide open to who we really are. Then devils will flee. Sickness will leave. Miracles will happen. The presence of God will be with you. And if somebody touches you, they'll get healed. How many of y'all want that? In Jesus' name, let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this message today. I thank you for the opened ears and opened hearts of everyone in this room. Lord, I thank you for the people that are listening to my voice by whatever medium they've got, Lord. You are faithful. You are always true. Your love is unconditional. It doesn't depend on us, Lord. You are good all the time. And you meet our need lavishly, liberally, Lord. Father, I thank you that those of us that pursue you, you reward us, Lord. That we are filled with your Holy Spirit, that we are filled with your anointing, that your word is lodged in our hearts, that it has opened our eyes to who we really are. Lord, you said you're going to be discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart by your word. You said that Jesus, you are going to discern the thoughts and the hearts of men. Lord, these troubles that come to us, these troubles that we face, let us have a position of, it's just proving my heart, and I am a victor and not a victim. And I overcome this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll not have power in my life. That my heart will be so set and so established in the law of faith, in the truth of your word, that I get the same results you got, Jesus. Because you're no respecter of persons. That my gift and my calling will never be taken from me, no matter what. It is not conditional upon my behavior. You chose me. You built me. You purposed me for this time on the earth. You decided you wanted me and made me Lord. So, Father, I lay down my life. I lay down my personal desires. I lay down living according to the old man and the old ways of living. And I now, by faith, rise up above my situations to believe you are the living God, to believe you are faithful, to believe you that you said that I am more than an overcomer because you defeated the devil and you put him under your feet, putting him under my feet. Lord, count this servant worthy that hears your word and obeys it, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Now, Father, I ask for every trial, every trouble, every temptation to not be more than we could handle, Lord. You promised it wouldn't be more than we could handle. So, Lord, by faith, I stand in agreement with you that I am well able to take any mountain that is before me. And Father, I ask that you would make confidence in my heart to believe this as truth, that like Jesus, the first words that would come out of my mouth would be, don't be afraid, only believe. And that I would believe what you've been putting in my heart, what's been depositing in my heart by your word, that the word would be rooted and grounded in me, Lord, and that the fruit that I bear would be the fruit of righteousness, joy, and peace. Lord, I trust you for this. I believe you that you told me the truth when you said that I could depend on your Bible. I believe you when you said that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was filled with power. Lord, I believe you that you are the one and only true God. And I put my trust that you are who you said you are and that you've done what you said you would do. And that I can have what you promised me. I believe you. So, Lord, everyone that can hear my voice in agreement with me, that, Lord, we are purposing in our heart to walk this out, Lord, to manifest the love of God to the world around us, Father. That we would actually have what you said we have. That we could actually be sons and daughters on this world. And I trust you for it in Jesus' name and thank you for it. Amen, Lord. Amen.